North American Division from the chaplaincy ministries. Maybe if you are here sitting somewhere, could you stand that the students can connect with you? Yes, we have two of you. It's Dr. Washington Johnson and then also Elder Art Stegel. So welcome here to be with us in that recognition assembly. So let me start this assembly with a story. A story is told that one day the famous General Napoleon Bonaparte had a speech for his soldiers, and suddenly his horse became restless and started to jump. And it seems that Napoleon will fall off the horse in this great parade. However, one soldier ran forward and quickly tamed the wild horse. Napoleon bowed and said to this soldier, "Thank you, Lieutenant." Well, needless to say, he did not return to his previous rank. Instead, he immediately went and stood in the row of well-dressed officers. He was so happy. He was named by Napoleon himself to be a commander. When the ceremony finished, someone tapped on his shoulder and said, You need to go with me. You were named a lieutenant, but now I need to teach you to behave as a lieutenant." You know, we were all named by God to be sons and daughters of God. Praise the Lord. But now we are in His school, in God's school, where He wants to teach us how to behave, how to live, how to serve others. And He teaches us through His word. And His word needs to be interpreted with all its broad implications and applications into practical life. So we need guidance. And I am in this context very thankful to the Lord that our seminary professors do their best in interpreting the scriptures here in the seminary and also worldwide, to the worldwide church. And they are not only presenting, but they are publishing. And this is why we have this recognition assembly today. They presented hundreds of lectures and different presentations around the world with Bible conferences and symposia and scholarly meetings. They wrote many scholarly articles. And if you take that brochure for today, you have all these brochures there and different articles. And some of them can be very significant. But our focus is not on articles this morning, but on the recognition on the books, which also are very interesting, and our professor were published. So we want to acknowledge some of these published books today and to praise the Lord, because these books and articles are written for Adventist audience, but also for non-Adventist audience. And both are very important. In our current magazine for 2015-2016, this current magazine focused on scholarship. So you can read, from many angles about the value and importance of scholarship, how it is important, how we need to study the Word of God. Because in the Word of God is a power. Well, it started with the Word of God. Everything started with the Word of God. God said, and it happened. The creative word. It's when we speak, we make some noise. But when God is speaking, something is occurring. And you know that the Hebrew word davar means two things, among many others. But it's not only a word, but it's also a thing. Because it's very tangible, very important. So, yes, creative word of God is very important. But you know that also in many other places of the world, of God, you have this emphasis, thus says the Lord. And God said, and because God said, something occurs. And we need to stress this power of the word. And Jesus Christ uttered a very powerful statement about true scholar, true theologian, who may be compared to a scribe. We usually think about scribes in very negative terms. But Jesus said that this expert in the law, scribe, theologian of the time, is a very important person. And he says, therefore, every scribe in, I am reading from Matthew 13, verse 52, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. I like especially NIV translation, before I was reading from ESV, but NIV translation characterized this specialist in the law as a disciple of God's kingdom, who constantly searches for truth and from the storeroom of wisdom share its treasures, old and new. And the text says, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom the treasures, new treasures as well as old. It's very powerful, very beautiful. Ellen G. White admonishes pastors. Ministers should devote time to reading, to study, to meditation, and prayer. Amen? But she also laments. She laments that some pastors have lazy minds. It's her word, not mine, okay? Have lazy minds, become intellectually lazy, and warns that, and I am quoting, those who do not love to study are ever in great danger of becoming dwarfs in spiritual and mental growth instead of being intellectual giants. I like that. You can be dwarf or an intellectual giant, and it's depend on the reading, on studying the scriptures, meditation, and prayer. And the Lord is telling whom he highly values, whom he greatly esteems. And I am now reading from Old Testament, from this gospel according to Old Testament, from the gospel according to Isaiah, from the last chapter, the last part of verse 2. These are the ones I look on with favor, says the Lord. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. This is a very, very powerful statement. Yes, the Lord highly values, highly esteems. He look with favor on those who are humble and who are trembling before the word of God. And trembling before the word of God is not only, you know, knowing that there is a word there, but it's to study that word, to practice it, to preach it, to serve in every occasion. John Calvin, great reformer, rightly encourages believers to have an open and humble attitude toward God's word. He says, let us understand that God recommends to us the honor and the authority of his word, as if he said that we must receive in all humility everything contained in the Holy Scripture, making ourselves teachable to what is contained in it. And to learn, you know, to be really the sons and daughters of God ever better and better. In my country, in a nearby city where I was born, in Valašské Meziříčí, in the Czech Republic, there is the astronomical observatory. And at the entrance, it's a huge building, it's with the big letters, when you enter, a statement, a really big statement. And if I translate the statement, it reads like that. A little knowledge leads you to pride. But much knowledge leads you to humility. to humility. I praise the Lord for godly scholars and their faithful work in enhancing our knowledge of God and His truth. And our awesome Creator gives gifts, and we want to acknowledge these gifts also in this recognition assembly and praise the Lord for all of this, because while we are doing it, we don't want to praise people, but we want to give glory to our Creator, our God. So may God bless you that this assembly today will help us also to be more faithful in our devotions to the Word of God. And we study carefully, we interpret it faithfully, and we live it to God's glory. Amen. Well, it's time now to really come to this vast production of scholarship within the last year. And as I said, we will not concentrate on articles, even though I would like to recommend you again that you go through many articles who our faculty produces, because some articles are key, are like opening the new door, new window. It's a seminal article, so I would like to recommend it to you. But in that short time we have, I would like to present to you 8 books, 8 projects. And let's start in the order we have it in the program. So the first one will be with Dr. Merlin Bird, who is the director of the Center for Adventist Research. And this is the book, Understanding Ellen White, The Life and Work of the Most Influential Voice in Adventist History. You are the editor. It means that there are many articles. Could you tell us something about this book?
It took a long time to get it together, finally. I know it doesn't look very big. But the strength of this book, in my mind, is its succinctness. It could have been a 600-page, 800-page book, and really the things I was editing were that much. So it's an attempt to boil down into very clear, succinct, and helpful way key issues that relate to understanding Ellen White.
Very good. Well, I know that like a companion to this book is this one, even though we were like first editors also, but then it came to Alberto Tim, because he could devote full his time on that book. Could you say something more about this important book? Because there are companions here.
Yeah. The Gift of Prophecy symposium last October was in the planning for a number of years. And what was neat about this symposium is the book was prepared for the symposium and actually yes. published at the time of the symposium. So we had an authors conference last December. And really, Alberto Tim, Jerzy Mistal, and myself worked to try to make this happen, but Alberto carried the heaviest load. So he and the editor at the White Estate are listed as the
and,
editor.
And many of our professors contributed to both of
yes.
these books. And also in your hand are is a magazine, Ellen G. White Issue Symposium. It's like 10 volumes already. And I think that this belongs also here on that, like a companion. Could you tell us something about this, which is published in your center every year?
Yeah, this actually is a journal that originates here. So, and then we have others. We have good journals and several good journals. But this one has been going 10 years, and we'll again have our symposium in the last Monday in March.
Yes.
And our goal is to break new ground in understanding Ellen White, to look at things from a faith perspective that help us move forward in our understanding. So it's not just really an attempt to just review. It's an attempt to try to strengthen the foundations.
Thank you. Well, this is a cutting-edge new research on Ellen G. White studies, so I really strongly recommend this trilogy here, which can help you to understand better this beautiful gift God gave us, the gift of prophecy in Ellen G. White. Thank you very much. Well, the second project is a book edited by Dr. John Reeve, and it's about women and ordination, biblical and historical studies. So tell me, why we need this book after the LNM General Conference already voted since?
That's why we need the book.
Very good.
This, in the last 4 years, we've had more scholarship, more good scholarship on this topic in the Adventist Church than ever before. And we've had a moment where we have come to a large consensus among the scholars of the church, recognizing that we need to interpret the scripture the same way that it was interpreted by James and Ellen White and those in the 1870s, on these same texts, on these same issues. We cannot afford as Adventists to start following the fundamentalist evangelicals on issues like this.
So we need to be consistent, right?
That's correct.
And it means that how we interpret the issue of Sabbath or sanctuary.
Absolutely.
Or immortality or non-immortality of the soul.
Absolutely.
So must be also the same methodology used for ordination of women.
He wrote the hermeneutics chapter, can you tell? Now, this is a status questionis of where Adventist scholarship is today on understanding the issues in the Bible and history and theology concerning women's ordination. And so this book, by the way, we made sure very carefully, we raised the money to send 2 copies to every tertiary Adventist theology school in the world before GC, just in case. So they're there students to read.
It was published just like 3 weeks before GC, right?
Yes, it was out before GC, and we immediately sent it around the world to make sure that it's in all the libraries. But it stands now as the status questionis. Now, a status questionis is the status of the question now, but it's also the beginning of the next conversation.
Amen.
That's what we need now.
So thank you very much for putting all this scholarship together on the topic of women and ordination. I think that this is really the best in scholarship our church has in this published form.
Thank you
very much. Well, the first two books or two projects were for the Adventist audience. Now, let's go for the non-Adventist audience. Dr. Roy Gain, you put together this nice volume for the legacy of Jacob Milgrom and beyond, with the title Current Issues in Priestly and Related Literature. When you open and read, it's a heavy reading. So why you, as Seventh-day Adventist scholars, put together many non-Adventist scholars and also your contribution there, for what purpose?
I was a student of Jacob Milgrom, who was the most influential modern scholar of Leviticus by far. He's written more than anyone else in history. I look forward to seeing him, hopefully, when he and Moses get together. I pray that will happen. And so when he died in 2010, there was a need to remember his legacy because he cut such a wide swath in this field.
Very good.
And his widow, I knew, would certainly appreciate this. She's a scholar and a good friend of mine. He was my mentor. Milgrom was my mentor and friend and everything. And I had many fellow students of Milgrom who are now established scholars. And there was a number of memorial sessions in his honor at the 2011 International Society of Biblical Literature Conference in London,
yes,
as well as that year in November in San Francisco. And so what I did was I went along there, listened to those papers, chaired some sessions, and then got these people to submit their articles. There were Milgrom students and others, and then we invited some others so that we could put together a volume. Now, it was challenging because we wanted to have more than just an ordinary festschrift. We wanted to have a coherent volume. Mm-hmm. And we were able to publish in this series, in the Society of Biblical Literature, Resources for Biblical Studies series, because we were able to put these essays together and arrange them to make a coherent volume on a particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this volume was a gift to my teacher. I worked with Ada Tagar Cohen, who's a Hittitologist. She's an Israeli Hittitologist working in Japan at a university there. And That collaboration began through a steering committee of the Society of Biblical Literature on which we were present, and I was asking for help, and she volunteered. So we were basically coordinating the work of scholars to have a book that would have a wide range of different perspectives from a number of different countries. Scholars are from all over the world, and they're Protestants, Jews, Catholic, and so on. And so it's not an Adventist book. I do not, in fact, I put in the introduction there that Ada and I do not endorse these. These are not necessarily our views. I wrote an article in there, which is my view, of course, unless I change my mind sometime in the future. But for now, it's my view. But that, I think, is in harmony with the Adventist perspective. However, there are others there, some of which push back against historical criticism, some of which try to carry source criticism further, and then we have just a huge variety on a lot of different topics. Okay. So it really is to represent the range of scholarship at the present time.
So this is some kind of scholarly evangelism for you?
For me it is, because I was able to do a lot of dialogue in the editing process, and the authors were very grateful for that. I wasn't trying to change their views or their presuppositions, but I was trying to help them increase the quality of the production. And they were grateful for that, and I learned a lot, and they learned some things. And so we developed some good relationships and rapport, and I just pray that this
Excellent.
Will lead to greater
Excellent.
Collaboration in the future.
So yes. may God bless you in this interaction with non-Adventist scholars, that the truth we are sharing can also shine among them.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the next one is the future professor. He's PhD student in archaeology. But I invited him also to be part of this panel because he published this very thick book. And it's also for non-Adventist scholarship and readership. And it's with Westbow Press, which is like Thomas Nelson and Zondervan publishers together. And you know, Zondervan is a very prestigious publisher. So, and you wrote, as an archaeologist now, Land of Rameses. Could you tell us something more about that book?
Sure, thank you. I'd always heard and been taught, and in fact I've said myself, that there's no archaeological evidence for the Exodus until I went to England to do my master's in Egyptian archaeology at University College London. And then I discovered that not only is there evidence, there's a whole lot of evidence for the Exodus if you don't change the Bible and if you don't change the archaeology. And so,
very good presuppositions, right?
Yes, yes.
Let facts speak for facts.
Let them do it for themselves. And what I discovered was not only do they harmonize very well, but if you add Ellen White to it, the story just blossoms, it blooms. One of my professors in one of our classes was kind of having a discussion and asked the question, how do we get the public to read our archaeological publications when we can't even get archaeologists to read them? And so I suggested, well, why don't we write them as a story? And they said, well, we can't write. Well, I'm an Adventist, and we have a holistic education, and I know how to write. And so I decided I'd make an educational novel and put it together in a story. And so this represents the fire that's in my gut, the passion for the Exodus, and all the research I've done in the years.
So it's a beautiful 650 pages only. a novel form with the scholarship about the Exodus. So it's a very good approach. Thank you. For you will have a bright scholarship career ahead of you in archaeology.
Thank
right?
you so much. Yes, it's for, I wrote it for non-Adventist adults, but I'd be happy if all of you bought it.
So thank you very much for this excellent work. Well, now we will go from this to the mission. And I would like to invite two our professors, Dr. Bruce Bauer and Dr. Wagner Kuhn, who edited interesting book, Biblical Principles for Missiological Issues in Africa. So we are in America, and here is the book about Africa. So could you tell us something about origin of this book?
Well, we spent about 5 years in Africa in a missions degree there, a doctor of ministry in missions. And at the very end, when we spent about 2 months putting together the documents, you know, the doctoral dissertation of project for these students, we challenged them. And these are mostly Africans, I think 27 Africans out of 28. And we challenged them, and they took the challenge seriously. Because as we understand, mission is done in partnership. And we offer our services. We say we will try to publish the book if you do your part. And they did. We chose 18 articles, 19 with one that was dedicated as a festschrift to our previous dean of this seminary, Dr. Werner V. Meister, and his wife, Dr. Nancy V. Meister. So this book is also a kind of a dedication to their life of ministry and mission. So it was a neat project, neat partnership, and it's produced by Africans dealing with African issues. It's a very good scholarship there.
All right, excellent. I know that you have also here for in your department, you are publishing missiological journal, which is like GEMS, Journal of Adventist Mission Studies. It's already the 12th year, right?
When yes, you are, 2016.
So how many of you know this journal? Journal of Adventist Mission Studies. Everybody should know, okay? It's 12 years already, and it's a very important scholarship also. Could you tell us something about that?
Well, it was a dream to try to get Adventists to write more about what's happening in mission. We've had a lot of good practitioners who haven't written a lot. So JAMS was kind of birthed from the dream of getting Adventists to write more about what they've experienced, what has happened out in mission.
Very good. And I know that each issue is devoted to different topics like urban studies,
yes.
Contextualization, Islam, Buddhism, and so forth. So
yes, the current issue that's at the press right now is on spiritual warfare. It should be available in the mission department in 2 weeks. And the next issue I would like some of you to write for. We'd like you to write something on hermeneutics and mission, indicating how culture, worldview, and experience impacts how people read and interpret the Bible. So if any of you are interested in writing on that topic, please submit your manuscripts.
So this is good. They are bridging both to Adventists and non-Adventists, and especially the mission-oriented project. So thank you very much, and thank you for your great, faithful scholarship. Well, another book is about now the Bible and interpreting the Bible. It's a book edited by Gerald Klinkbeil, published by our Andrews University Press. It's a Genesis creation account and its reverberations in the Old Testament. So as the man in charge, could you tell us, Ron, about this project?
Revelation 14, 6 and 7 portrays an angel loudly proclaiming a call to worship the Creator because he created in the way he said he created, and to worship him because he is the judge of that creation. We say that that is our message. We say we are that angel. We say this is the time. But are we proclaiming it loudly? It is an urgently needed message, as many of our brothers and sisters in evangelical academia are rapidly abandoning the biblical doctrine of creation as so clearly portrayed in the first few pages of the Bible. Prophecy perfectly anticipated the crisis of this time. So how can we be loud? Well, of course, scholars publish books, and I, as the director of Andrews University Press, am very proud to represent this book and to represent and speak on behalf of the writers and contributors of this book, who all finally represent the scholarship of this fine seminary. And those are, of course, Davidson and Yonker and Hazel and Gregor and Moran and Rodriguez and Klingbeil and Dukan. The message of this book is clear. If you claim to take the rest of the Old Testament seriously, you have to do the same with the first few pages. So, how can a book be loud? It can be loud if you get the book where it needs to go. And I am proud to report that your church, our church, represented by the General Conference Faith and Science Council, decided to be loud. They came up with the money to send a copy of the Genesis creation account and its reverberations in the Old Testament to each of the 4,200 members of the Evangelical Theological Society. In addition, they sent it to more than 400 libraries of seminaries and Christian colleges and universities in North America. My brothers and sisters in faithful Adventist scholarship, I think it's time to focus our scholarship on the messages of our times, and it's time to be loud.
Very good. So creation theology is really the foundation for everything, and our whole theology, our 28 fundamental beliefs, stands and for our creation theology. So thank you for this endeavor and publishing this book.
Thank you very much. And of course, you asked me to say this, so I will remind everyone of the major book sale in the lobby taking place outside, where you also, in addition to many other fine books published by other publishers and Andrews University Press, can also pick up this book as well. God bless you.
Very good. Thank you. Well, now we have another very important book. It's from Professor John Peckham. And this book is called The Love of God, A Canonical Model. Well, we talk a lot about the love of God, right? And sometimes we even don't hear it anymore, that God loves us. So why you are now choosing this theme, the love of God, and make it as a canonical model for all hermeneutics and interpretation of the Bible?
Yeah, there's a number of reasons for this. Obviously, the love of God is a central theme of Scripture. It's central to everything I believe about God. For us as Adventists, it's central to the Great Controversy framework. But there are many different conceptions of God's love, competing popular conceptions of love, and many competing theological conceptions of God's love. And as I looked into the issue, trying to deal with a larger project about the Great Controversy that I'm working on now, I started with the love of God because it's central to the God-world relationship. But what happens in a great deal of scholarship is they presuppose a particular God-world relationship and a particular view on the nature of what God is like. And from that view of what God is like, they then extrapolate what God's love is like. Mm-hmm. I asked a different question. I said, what would happen if instead of presupposing that I know what God is like already, or I know what his love is like already, what if I invert that typical methodology? And I go to the canon of Scripture. I call it a canonical model because the Bible is the rule. The Bible is a canon. That's what canon means etymologically. And I'm taking all of Scripture as a unified corpus to try to shed light on what God's love is. So that's what I did, a comprehensive survey of Scripture to try to glean from that the definition of divine love. And then that sheds implications for what God's relationship to the world is like.
All right, very good. I think this is a very important theme because in the postmodern world, many are denying that God is love.
Yes.
So it's very important to resurrect this theme and really to show in this vastness that this is the main issue in the great controversy.
Yes.
So thank you for this contribution. And as you know, this book was chosen number one in the Reader's Award of NIV publishers. So thank you very much. And again, I would like to remind you that all the books in NIV, which are there, and also from the Mission Department, as well from Andrews University Press, are today 40% to 80% off. So choose books for you today that you can have good books in your library. Well, the last book I would like to stress for us is from Professor Joseph Killer. And this is a very practical one. It's the title is Moving Your Church. Well, it means that our church is stagnating. So tell me, why to move the church? Why to move the church? What are the principles for it?
I'm going to give you a little bit of a background about the book. When I came to teach here at the seminary, especially in the area of church growth, all of the books that myself and my colleagues were using were from other evangelical bookstores. And I wanted to know what really Adventists are doing in the area of church growth. So we called all 59 conferences in North America and asked them if they have any churches that are growing at the rate of 5% for 5 years in attendance, membership, and baptism. Unfortunately, there were only 5 churches that qualified for that. So we lowered our expectation and asked them to give us churches that are growing at the rate of 5% for 5 years. But if there are any that are 4% or 3%, we would like to know more about them. We got 23 churches. So I wrote the first book on that, which was The Big Four. And the essence of the book is that really the church today needs more emphasis on discipleship, more on prayer, and more on the power of God. And praise the Lord, the book sold more than 35,000 copies, plus translated into about a dozen languages now. And people ask me to write a sequel to it on how to promote a culture of evangelism in the church and a culture that produces new disciples for the kingdom of God. And that is this book over here.
All right. So if you would say the one most important principle how to move church to forward, what will be the one?
I would say pray a lot, create a culture of prayer, and build new leaders in your church that love God and love to study the Bible and love to pray.
Very good. I like the subtitle, Become a Spirit-Led Community. It means that all what you mentioned must be always done in the great cooperation and collaboration with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for this emphasis and this faithful scholarship.
Just one word. I would like to thank Christy Hudson, who helped me immensely in this book.
Very good.
She read every word on it and improved on it.
All right. Thank you very much for it. Well, because our time is pressing, let me now to go to the culmination of our assembly today, recognition assembly. Each year we are giving 2 awards. The first one is of Daniel A. Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award, and the second one is Sigrid H. Horn Excellence in Research Award. So teaching and research. But let me tell you that it is not about really teaching and research only. This award for excellence in teaching is not only about teaching, but it's also about influence. It's about different connections. It's also about publishing. It's about collaboration within the seminary, outside of the seminary. So it's more than only teaching. Okay, and the same is with the research. It's not only for the publications, but it also with the personality and especially connections. This year we were looking especially for the connections with the non-Adventist world. So let me now announce the first recipient, and this is for Daniel A. Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award. And this year our faculty chose that the recipient of that special award will be Dr. John Peckham. Well, congratulations. And I would like now to invite the chair of the theology department that he will read the citation of that award.
Dr. John Peckham received his first degree from Atlantic Union College, a Bachelor of Science in Accounting and Administration, summa cum laude. Partway through his program, however, John realized that accounting and administration were not what God was calling him to do. Thus, John followed God's leading and came to the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary, where he joined the ranks of the Masters of Divinity students. John completed his MDiv in 2005 with 4.0 GPA. While at the seminary, John's professors acknowledged his unique acumen in theological studies and his remarkable writing ability. Thus, he was encouraged to continue his studies by enrolling in PhD in systematic theology, which he did following his MDiv graduation. During this time, he came under the tutelage of Dr. Fernando Canale. After completing his comprehensive examinations in 2008, he was called to pastoral ministry in the Indiana Conference. In 2009, John was invited to join the theology faculty at Southwestern Adventist University, where he served as a professor until the completion of his PhD at the seminary in 2012. In 2013, he received a call to serve as an associate professor at the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary. His colleagues at Southwestern Adventist University reacted with a mixture of sadness and joy. One of his colleagues shared with me that while they would have loved to have John stay at Southwestern, they understood that John was destined for greater things. Since his arrival in 2013, John has made a significant impact upon the student population and his fellow professors. His passion for scholarship is evident to all. It has not yet been 3 years since Dr. John Peckham came to the seminary, but in this short time, he has made an impressive contribution to Adventist theology as well to wider Christian academia. The crowning achievement of this year is the publication of The Love of God, a Canonical Model, a book published by InterVarsity Press, which received the 2015 Reader's Choice Award. Prior to this, his dissertation, The Concept of Divine Love in the Context of the God-World Relationship, was published by Peter Lang in New York. In 2016, John is scheduled to publish another book published by Erdmans entitled Canon, Sola Scriptura and Theological Method. During this time, John has also written a number of peer-reviewed articles published in a variety of Adventist and evangelical venues. The seminary also recognizes John's excellence in teaching. His expertise easily transfers to the classroom. As a result, he constantly receives high evaluations from the students who take his classes. Despite his many successes, John remains a very humble Christian gentleman who is dedicated to serving God and others through his gifts and talents. Congratulations, John, on receiving this prestigious award for excellence in teaching.
Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Well, your support is very loud, very clear. Let me tell you that I spoke with one theology professor like 1 month ago, and we were talking about this book, John, The Love of God, The Canonical Approach. And he told me, among others, well, I think that, your professor you have in your faculty now, John Peckham, he will make Adventism again visible among other Christians. So it's beautiful. Well, let me also now announce the second award. This is Sigrid H. Horn Excellence in Research Award. As I said, it's more about research, but not only about research. And the School of Research and Creative Scholarship is responsible for this award. So I would like to invite Dr. Gary Burdick to come forward here, that we can together congratulate the recipient. And the recipient for this year, 2015, of the Sigrid H. Horn Excellence in Research Award is Dr. Rachel Choi. Now to invite my associate dean, Dr. Teresa Reif, to read citation, because he's the chair of the New Testament department. He cannot do a citation for himself. So please.
I feel very honored to read the citation for the Siegfried H. Horn Excellence in Research and Creative Scholarship Award winner for 2016. I've known the award winner for 36 years. First as a fellow student at PUC, next as my Greek and New Testament ethics teacher here at the seminary, then as a fellow seminary professor, and now as the chairperson of the New Testament department. During this time, his time at the seminary, he's made significant contributions to scholarship that richly qualify him to be the recipient of this award. Richard Che holds a doctorate from Fuller Theological Seminary. He served as a pastor for 8 years in the Southern California Conference before joining the faculty of the New Testament Department at the seminary in 1991. His areas of expertise are in Paul, Jesus, New Testament ethics, and the intertestamental period. Richard is revered in the department for the depth of knowledge and originality he brings to the classroom, the rigor in thinking and research he insists on with his students, and his dedication to working one-on-one with students to help them reach his high expectations in the area of scholarship and research. Since 2007, when he was appointed chair of the New Testament Department, Richard has applied that same dedication to developing and promoting the research endeavors of each of the faculty within his department. Within the last 5 years, Richard has presented 12 different scholarly papers in venues around the world, including the International Society of Biblical Studies meetings in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and St. Andrews, Scotland. He was part of the team that produced the Andrews Study Bible, authoring the introduction and study notes for 5 New Testament books, and is currently completing a commentary on the book of Galatians for the new Seventh-day Adventist International Bible Commentary Series. A particularly valuable contribution Richard brings to the seminary and to Andrews University in the area of research is his collaboration with other scholars, many of whom are at the forefront of the scholarly world in their areas of research, and his much-valued leadership in scholarly organizations and societies. He has been for a number of years and is currently executive secretary, coordinator of the Chicago Society of Biblical Research, which meets 3 times each year to discuss papers and also publishes its own scholarly journal, of which he is the manager. He's currently the president of the Midwest Society of Biblical Literature, has served as regional coordinator for those meetings. He currently chairs the Midwest SBL Paul section, assessing and providing feedback on research submissions in this area, and organizing and leading discussion and exploration of Pauline studies at the regional meetings. He has served for a number of years as the chair of the Regional Scholar Award Committee for the Society of Biblical Literature, and is a past president of the Adventist Society for Religious Studies. In these capacities, he has organized over 25 scholarly conferences, gatherings which are central to the advancement of research in the discipline of biblical studies. He is appreciated as a dedicated mentor and friend by countless students and colleagues. Congratulations, Richard, on receiving this prestigious award for research and creative scholarship.
All right.
So I am very pleased that we could give these 2 very prestigious awards to our 2 professors, beloved professors. And now I would like, before we will pray, invite you to Thursday assembly. On Thursday morning, we will have, and also evening, at in the morning, 11:30, at evening at 7 o'clock, we will have our guest and former colleague here at the seminary, Dr. John Pauline, who is the dean at Loma Linda University School of Religion. He will be here, and he will speak about the book of Revelation, Revelation 13, in the morning about the Adventist identity and Revelation 13, and in the evening at 7 o'clock about the Revelation 13 and papacy. So both topics are very interesting, and I know, because I was reading the material already, this will stimulate your thinking. So I would like to invite you. And now let's stand together and praise the Lord for all the gifts he is giving us. And I would like to ask Dr. Richard Che to pray with us.
Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we come to you in praise. We come to you in the capacity of scholarship. Your word is limitless, eternal. All our searchings and studies cannot exhaust its wealth. Your name be praised, and through our efforts, your kingdom come, and your will be done on this earth. We praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost through our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right.
Nice surprise, right?
Yes, you will both receive it actually. Then I will say only that it's announced here.
Yeah, that's when you actually receive the award. That's when they actually take your picture.
It's Sunday evening. Yeah. It will be nice, you know, if we can have it also for our magazine.